Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm going to say this as straightforward as I possibly can. The New York Jets have broken Sam Darnold.
Available now on the Rich Eisen Show app.
In F.
Earlier on the show, New Orleans Saints defensive end Cameron Jordan, Seattle Seahawks wide receiver Tyler Lockett, host of NBC's The Weakest Link, Jane Lynch, coming up, host of Fox's Cosmos Possible Worlds, Neil deGrasse Tyson, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. I'm the best dad ever, as this sign says.
Still going.
Now, yeah, so this is what?
This is like four months running.
Wow. Congrats.
4 months running. Did some Legos yesterday.
Oh.
Just trying to keep this streak alive.
Just don't step on those things.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Those are no.
Please. Like I've never done that.
Landmines.
Come on now.
They are.
What do you know?
When I was a kid. Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, your son right now, I mean,
is just,
he hasn't graduated even to the Duplo. He hasn't done even that yet.
No, we've got some, like, wooden blocks and, like, the ring.
Here we go.
And the little trucks.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he just wants to eat them.
Okay.
So.
There you go.
Yeah.
Man, gotta watch all that.
Yep.
Good. Well, and your son is, again, how's his Madden rating? I mean.
He's still 99s. Enormous. Yeah, he's 99 for height, mm-hmm. 97 for weight, and 95 for head size.
So have you tweeted or Instagram from his account complaining about his rating? That he's not 99? That he's not up there? You haven't complained?
Okay. I do tag Madden and all that stuff just to
do
see
you
if
really?
He respond. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I have some ins there.
That's
I could
true.
I
right.
could be more than happy
we can,
to
we can get,
can we get a game copy
now.
Of the game?
Game cover.
I'm more than happy to get Cage rated. You know.
I did ask after he was born to get a rating from or a scouting report from DJ.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Question about that, Rich.
Yes, sir.
Is that like the best dad ever? Is that like a title belt? Do you have to defend that? Can anyone contest you for it?
Great question.
Or is it just yours in perpetuity like a Supreme Court judge?
Didn't we have somebody call in yesterday talking about how he's a big dad, best dad? And I told him that if you come at the king, you best not miss. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Yesterday was National Sons Day. Which I did not know until it was late at night.
Yeah, it was Daughter's Day, Sundays, and Daughter's Day.
And I couldn't. Every day is Daughter's Day and Son's Day. At least in my house, it is. Okay. At any rate, I'm the best dad ever. Basically, what I'm saying. That's no news. We're not breaking any news there. Now, our poll question I've yet to chime in on. Then we'll get to news and we'll take some phone calls because Neil deGrasse Tyson's coming up in this hour.
Need to be on time for Neil.
I need to be on. Yeah. Well, I mean, imagine he's going to be spot on time based on lunar and solar cycles and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. And Coughlin time.
Coughlin time?
Yeah.
I mean, well, that's 5 minutes. DeGrasse, I don't know if Dr. DeGrasse Tyson time is what it is, 5 minutes early. At any rate, we're going to ask him about flat earther strategy, right? The gravity, like, what is an actual wormhole to know of what I'm dealing with the Dolan wormhole and the gravitational pull?
Gravitational suck of a wormhole.
Right. And you want me to ask him about Deflategate, right? About,
well, I just want him to clear the air for all these very good.
Clear the air. I like it. Very good. Clear the air. Very good.
The weather wasn't.
Apparently, he's a Yankee fan. So, Neil deGrasse Tyson and I, we could talk launch angle. We could talk about shifts and all sorts of stuff like that.
Nice.
We could do all that.
Trash
baseball
can,
playoff
trash
starts. Playoff baseball. Playoff baseball starts today.
Like right now.
What
it's
do we
about,
got?
It's about to get going.
What do we got?
I think Astros Twins are up first.
By the way, congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning winning the Stanley Cup.
Oh well,
last
we're going
to
hear from Dick Vitale in a minute
because
he is very excited.
Well, I mean, why not? You got the Lightning with the Cup, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you've got the Rays kicking off the playoffs.
One seed
in the American League.
Yeah, Dickie V's pumped.
Okay, very good.
And then the Gasparilla Festival coming up soon.
Our poll question is currently up there on our Twitter handle, at Rich Eisen Show. And it's which team has the best shot to...
Yeah, biggest threat to knock off the Chiefs.
To knock off the Chiefs.
Ravens, Steelers, Bills, Patriots.
Bills.
Here's what I'm going to say. I will say this. Okay. Ooh. I'm going to go with the team that's got the most... experience in beating the Chiefs. Okay.
Okay.
Ooh. The Steelers have played some tight games with the Chiefs, right? But who's beaten the Chiefs?
I mean,
who's beaten the Chiefs?
The Pats have beat the Chiefs.
Bill, I would give, if you give me one game, and that's coming up this weekend. That's one of them.
Yeah, that's coming up this weekend.
One game to try and confound and beat the Andy Reid system and then pound it out yourself. Why would I again, the way Cam's shown up just changes everything for me.
And the run game has been.
The Bills, though, have the quarterback that can play similar to Mahomes. And that's what Allen's doing.
Biggest X factor.
Allen is also coming up with multiple touchdown passes and a running touchdown of his own. He's doing it weekly now. He has clearly raised his game this year. Clearly. So, I don't know.
Allen's second in the league in passing yards.
I guess you could say that the Bills could keep up with the Chiefs point for point and maybe beat them defensively. Who would have thought? I think the AFC East teams have the best opportunity. So I would just go Belichick because you just – and Bill, you trust. Right? Where do they rank? They're third on our
list,
right?
That's what we say. Yeah,
third place?
Yeah, Pats are third. Bills lead the way, actually, 37%.
Yep, they should.
How about the Patriots?
Bills Mafia's showing up right
now. How about the Patriots? People sleeping. They are sleeping. And I'm one of them saying that the Bills, it's their division to win this year, man.
You're not going to pick the Pats, though, this week to beat the Chiefs, are you?
No, I don't think so. I'm still licking my wounds choosing against the Chiefs for the first time all year.
Well, I think everyone kind of was picking the Ravens, was on the Ravens yesterday.
They just got to come up with a game where they come back from two scores down and win. We got to see that from Lamar Jackson. Against a quality opponent, we got to see it.
Yeah, well, Bill Barnwell tweeted that out last night. Lamar Jackson has started 26 games, now 27. He's 0-7 with a
losing at
halftime
deficit. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's never come back in the second half of a game. We got to see it. Got to see it. Let's go to Connor in Denver. He's been holding on for quite some time. What's up, Connor?
Hey, how's it going, Rich?
How are you, bro?
Oh, pretty well. I just wanted to call in and say the same points that you've been hammering home, but wanted to give you a little bit of a cheering up. If you ever watch some Baldy breakdowns, you would know that Mekhi Becton is probably entering into the top 15 tackles in the league right now. So
if you need
to cheer me up, go watch one of his highlights. But let me tell you, if you really think that the Chiefs are going to be beaten by anybody, I think it's only could be the Patriots. And it's unfortunate that so many people opted out for the Patriots, but even still, Bill Belichick's mind is incredible. And one last little fact that I found out that from listening to the ESPN broadcast last night was the Ravens are now 0-5 when down by 10 points or more. And I just do not see them succeeding with this type of strategy. You know, play calling is a big portion of the NFL. You see it with Andy Reid. You see it with Matt LaFleur right now. And the play calling in these big game situations, it's calling for passing, and he just can't keep up. Everybody take care.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Look, Hollywood Brown can beat defenses in the same way Tyreek Hill beats defenses.
He's very fast.
He, as a matter of fact, got behind defense, and Lamar Jackson threw the ball outside. He was looking for it inside, and they missed up. The plays are there. They just got to make them. They made it a 27-20 game last night. I thought the Ravens had the momentum.
Yeah, I think so.
Then they made a couple mistakes. Mahomes then gets the ball back, and that's all she wrote. Hey, man, you got the Chiefs in your house, and they couldn't make a kick. In a game where all things are supposed to be equal between your MVP quarterbacks, that's supposed to be the difference maker. You know, our friend Ace Man always said that there should be a pole in the middle of the uprights.
For five
points?
The Adam
pole for 5 points. Yes. That if the field goal kicker hits the pole in the middle, it's a 5-point field goal. Justin Tucker would lead the league in Adam pole field goals. Does he hit it straight down the middle
every time?
Oh. Let's go to Mike in Orlando. What's up, Mike?
Rich, how you doing?
What's going on?
Real quick, yeah, I'm in Orlando, but I'm originally from New Jersey, and with the exception of the Yankees, let's say New York sports teams right now are less than stellar. So I have a poll question for a suggestion for the third hour.
Okay.
Which team is going to end up with the worst record in the NFL, the Jets or the Giants? Let's be real. It's going to be one of the two of them.
I agree. It's going to be one of the two. I would say the Jets. I think the Jets are going to end up firing their coach, with all due respect to Adam Gase. I think he's in deep trouble.
I agree with you. I think
even though the Johnsons have never fired, Woody or Chris have never fired a coach in the middle of a season. I appreciate
it's his first year there, and you know, with the Giants, I think he's got to be given some time. And I think the Jets are just they've ruined him. I'm with you. They've ruined Sam.
They've broken him. He's broken.
And ruined him.
Thanks for the call, and I appreciate what the caller before said. Hey, look at Baldy's breakdown of Mekhi Becton. That and a token would have gotten me on the subway as a kid. And the reason why I'm saying is the subway, because you know they don't use tokens anymore. It's that MetroCard. And a MetroCard would get me on the subway. Literally, I love the fact that they got Becton, and it looks like Joe Douglas with his draft choice has hit with this kid who somehow, some way was let drop all the way to the Jets. That's great, because the quarterback still seems rushed and makes some horrible decisions, and there's no one for him to block for running the football, which is great. So, but at least that guy could help protect Trevor Lawrence for Eric Bieniemy. I'm all in on that,
like
by the way.
Take.
I am all
I like
the way
take.
In on
all right,
that.
All right, we have some breaking news for Thursday.
Okay, let's get to your news update. Let's Chris Brockman here on the Rich Eisen Show, a news update here on this busy day.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, everybody, what do you got over
okay,
there?
Okay, so I don't want to say that, you know, your dreams of Eric Bieniemy and Trevor Lawrence are going to be dashed on Thursday, but the Jets have a chance to win. Broncos are benching Jeff Driscoll. It's going to be Brett Rippin.
Yeah, this fell. That's
the undrafted free agent from Boise.
Is that Mark's kid? Is that who it is? Is that Mark Rippin's
kid? Oh, I don't
kid?
Know. I don't know that.
Want to look that
possible.
Up? TJ, look that up, because he's going to be doing some news here. Yeah. Hey, he came in the late throws, and he took some of the chops against the Bucks.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Look, if the Jets.
No, his dad is Tim.
Okay, maybe he's. I don't know. I just went Rippin. If the Jets lose their first two home games to the San Francisco B team and to the third string Broncos quarterback of a team that is yet to win, if they go 0-4 against the 0-3 Broncos, who are missing their pass rusher, two of them, right?
Two
of them on the line.
Yep.
And they're missing Cortland Sutton, and they're missing Philip Lindsay, and they come in with the third string quarterback and beat him on a short week, then what I say as a hot take becomes my non-hot take. Go ahead. It's Mark Griffin's nephew. It's Uncle Mark.
Got it. Well, Gase gets fired on Friday if they lose to these guys, right?
I don't know. Because, again, the Jets have never done that. And then, you know, what are you doing that for? Normally you fire a coach to make sure that fans show up to the game. They're not coming to the game anyway. I don't know. Just let them sit there and just figure out what to do. And hopefully, you know, deep down, they don't catch fire. But if they do decide to change coaches just because they have to show the fan base something, I guess, that's the only reason to do it, or they feel like Gase is in fact breaking Sam Darnold, then Greg 3G Williams is going to have his second interim job in 3 years. Yeah. Mr. Interim head coach himself, he's sitting right there.
And then what if they win a couple games and then...
Well, and he did... Hey, don't forget.
He coached up Cleveland.
He did. Yeah. He was high registered. The Browns almost made a run.
We're good.
I know. What else you got?
Okay. Well, let's hear from Jerry Jones, speaking of higher register.
Yeah, but what's going on with this
today?
So
he said this today on 105.3 down in the Metroplex, and Cowboys Twitter kind of conspiracy theory tin hat reading in to try to read between the lines here of what Jerry said.
Yeah, because what he said, essentially, yeah. he was asked.
We have it.
No, I got it. So what he was asked, from what I heard, he was asked after watching Monday Night Football,
right,
if he believes the Cowboys are now further away from winning a Super Bowl because this is the way the defending Super Bowl champs look. And people are viewing what we're about to play as a...
As Dak slight, kind of shade on Dak Prescott.
Okay, let's
see. The quarterback we played Sunday is of that kind of nature. He's very... has great ability to get in and out and then make the play. That play Dak made at the end of the game that got intercepted. Well, the result of Dak's ability that let him get that ball off was really great and outstanding. Well, these guys do that, have that ability a lot. They are very quick-footed, and they have the unique ability to possibly take their eyes away from the field for a minute and then immediately focus back and see. Romo had that.
That's what everyone's paying attention to because he throws in Romo at the end.
Well, I mean, again, he's talking about, you know, look, we have our fun with, you know, Jerry Jones, who was kind enough to call on the show a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
You know, with all the drops that Del Tufo has and don't have to play him.
No, I won't.
But he was asked how far the Cowboys are, Mal Baby, behind the Chiefs, and he admitted that they're not there yet. And he talked about how great Mahomes is. And he said that the ability to extend a play and be athletic and, you know, avoid the rush and still make a play downfield is something that he said the quarterback he played on Sunday had in Russell Wilson. And then in attempting to pay, and what I hear, Dak a compliment, that Dak has that same ability too. It's just that the play finished with an interception. I don't think he's saying that anything, but Dak is in that level with these guys, and Romo was too. I don't take this as Dak's slight at all. I really don't. Like, okay, he's basically saying Dak has the ability to make a play. It's just it was a pass that got intercepted.
Yeah. Well, Cowboys Twitter kind of ran with it this
way. I think that's ridiculous. And again, Dak is not the reason why they're losing these games. Dak's the reason why they almost won two of them.
Yeah.
Come on now.
All right, a couple injury news. Dallas Goedert, Eagles tight end, has a small fracture in his left ankle.
Wow.
So he's going to be out for an extended period of time, although a source told Jeff McClain, who covers the Eagles, that it won't be too lengthy. Depends on his recovery. Rick Stroud down in Tampa saying Chris Godwin is going to miss multiple games with that hamstring.
Oh, man.
And more bad news. The MetLife Turf claimed another. Jordan Reed is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with a knee sprain.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. How about
he hurt his ankle on a play on a pass in the end zone, came back in the game, and then jacked up his knee.
49ers will never want to go there ever again.
Yeah. All right, real
but
quick.
They're 2-0 there, and that's two better than the Jets and Giants combined.
Indeed, with two different quarterbacks.
Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones have to win two home games this year to have more than Garoppolo and Nick Mullins on that turf.
We're approaching a Jets wormhole, too.
No, we're not, because I know we got to get to the man who actually knows what a wormhole is.
Yeah, really quick, but also I just want to play this real quick. Dick Vitale posted this on Twitter this morning. Lightning won the Stanley Cup last night.
Yes,
congratulations
to them.
And Dickie V is fired up for Tampa sports.
Hey, my sports chatter of the day right there, baby.
Look at him.
Phase one. There's three phases. If you're a Tampa Bay area fan like I am, season ticket holders, the whole bit, love supporting the local teams. Well, phase one was last night, the celebration, the NHL playoffs, the Stanley Cup champs. Yes, the Tampa Bay Lightning. So that's phase one. They didn't sit and moan and groan and cry last year when they were surprised and shocked, beaten four straight by the Blue Jackets in the first round. And what they did, they rolled up the sleeves, went to work, and they became champs this year. They were awesome, baby, with a capital A. Yes, phase one. Phase two starts tonight with the Rays against the Blue Jays. And then we're going to have phase three with the Bucks. That's right. We want three celebrations. We got one. It is going to rock and roll, baby, in Tampa with the big celebration tomorrow night. Yes, sir. I love the jersey they gave me. Oh, yeah. I love that jersey. Yes, sir. Go Bolts. Go Rays. Go Bucks.
Living
his best life.
Awesome,
man.
Baby. I love it. Rich Eisen show exclusive is that apparently in the midst of all that, the Mandelbaums next door called to tell them to keep it down.
Mandelbaum.
Take the pen, Dickie V. Take the cup. That's the phrase in Del Boca Vista.
Love it.
Take the cup. It's all great for Tampa.
Yeah.
And in the crapper for the New York sports scene, pretty much. In the crapper.
That's a shame.
That's a shame. Right? Yeah, it's a shame. To speak of another Seinfeld line, right? Neil deGrasse Tyson, the rare hyphenate of astrophysicist and host. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, well, below deck area. New Below Deck Powder Spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/oldspicebelowdeck. All right, our quadcast audience is soon to rejoin us, but congrats again to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Congrats to our colleagues at NBC Sports as well, and congrats to the NHL. If I'm not mistaken, the NHL was the last of the four major North American sports leagues to announce the details of their return, the location and the dates. I think the NBA bubble was announced beforehand. Obviously, the NFL stayed put with what they were going to do. Baseball had already announced that they were coming back. The basketball NBA bubble had been set, and we were waiting for the NHL. We knew the teams that were invited and the seedings. We didn't know the when and the where. And the NHL is the first to complete their season and hand out their remarkable chalice. They did it. And congratulations. The bubble held, and the Tampa Bay Lightning deserve the cup. They have the cup. A remarkable moment, and a remarkable moment chronicled by our friends and colleagues at NBC Sports. What an achievement for everybody. Not to be overlooked, not to be forgotten, and here for all of us to properly offer our congratulations and kudos. Let's not overlook everything that got in, put into this logistically from the league and television partners and union. Well done. We're back here on the NBC Sports Network. And again, we're exclusive to Peacock starting next week, folks. So if you watch us on NBCSN, where it's been a fun time, the only way for you to catch us between 12 to 3 Eastern starting next week is the app, the Peacock app, or the desktop, peacocktv.com. And we love the guests that we have here on this show, not only because we think it's the best in sports and entertainment, but it also leaves you smarter. Leaves you smarter. And this guest absolutely does that with everything that he does, whether it's on social media, whether it's on TV, whether it's in his writings. He is the host of Cosmos Possible World Season 3, airing Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox with your host, Neil deGrasse Tyson. How are you, sir?
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on here. Thanks for being on this program. I remember the Cosmos version when I was a kid with Carl Sagan. I watched it all the time. And you're, okay. You know...
Yeah, and because he birthed it back in 1980.
Right.
And I have the privilege of hosting the latest two incarnations of it, 2014 and this year, 2020. And it couldn't have happened at a more important time, I think, in a year that has been so absent of hope for so many people. Cosmos, I think, is offering a cosmic perspective to people to sort of rise up above our differences and look at what science and technology can do to stimulate our interest in becoming better shepherds of civilization. That's how I summarize it.
And what do you think of that? I know that, again, it sounds like a laugh line in that respect, but, you know, we've already seen some sporting events canceled due to smoke and fires and obviously what's going on with COVID-19 and this is, you know, our planet where so many sporting events need to take place outside and happen. How concerned are you?
Yeah, so from a sports perspective, I mean, at the risk of stating the obvious, sports has become one of the most important cultural dimensions of modern civilization that we have. It brings people together. It brings countries together in polite competition, right? And... you know, outside of the waging of war, sports is sort of the next thing that brings people together in peaceful ways. And so if you have a force operating, in this case, COVID, that is disrupting it, it's interesting. I don't know if that experiment has ever been conducted in peacetime, right? So now you can't, you're not getting together. You don't have the common experience to say to talk about your favorite team or who won or who lost. So, yeah, I think the experiment is still underway. Yes, as I heard you before I came on, describing how the major sports organizations are finally getting on the calendars, but you know that was hard earned, right? Given how many months we went without it.
Yep.
So, here's how I think we can think about it. All right, which might be a little depressing, but you got to start somewhere to rise up from it.
Yep.
Think about it. You look at the conflict in the world today, especially as expressed in the last several months of social unrest. And, you know, here we have a virus that doesn't care what color your skin is or who you worship or who you have sex with or what side of a line in the sand you were born on. It only cares that you're human. And if you're human, it has the chance of infecting you. And this was our big chance to show that if we have a common enemy to our species, that we'd all band together, drop your swords, and let's fight this thing. And do I give us a C- on this? And suppose an alien showed up and wanted to kill us all. You're pretty sure we would get together on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what this says about humans, that maybe we believed we were post-tribal, but we're not. And and by the way, sports is a bit of tribalism unto itself.
Oh, of course.
But okay, it's kind of a constructed tribalism, right? If you're a fan of a team, you could be any kind of person a fan of that team, and that's an excuse enough to get together with that person and have a tailgating party, right? That's the only requirement, and you're not testing what their skin color is or anything else. So I'd say Cosmos is just a way to gather a cosmic perspective that comes from beyond Earth, right? It's what Earth looks like from space, and we're all just on this little place together. And every episode, 13 episodes dropping weekly, is infused with threads of hope that if we sort of rise up above ourselves and become sort of a little more wise about how we wield the awesome power of science and technology, then we may be able to save ourselves from ourselves going forward.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, host of Fox's Cosmos Possible World, airing Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox. And you mentioned about hope. And the new season I'm reading here will reveal, it says, the notes, the new season will reveal previously uncharted realms, including lost worlds and worlds to come, and those that we may one day inhabit in a thrilling future we can still have. I'm reading into that. Tell me if I'm wrong. You're talking about the New York Knicks, right, Neil? Correct? Did I get that correct, or am I just reading a little bit too much in between the lines?
So you're talking about the Knicks? We talk about a childhood. When I was in middle school, the Knicks were winning, right? And they won some championships. So I have, like, indelible memories of Walt Frazier and Dave DeBuscher and
Bill Bradley.
Bill Bradley, who became a senator and wrote a couple of best-selling books.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, when you're a kid, you think that's a forever state of existence.
Nope.
And then you realize that's a special moment where a certain combination of talent gathers in the same place at the same time, right? You can have other bits of talent that show up, but if they're scattered, then it doesn't come together. Like, for example, they're great basketball players who never actually won a championship, right? Because other players didn't gather in the same place at the same time. So I tweeted, I didn't know if it was mean or fun or whatever. I just tweeted a simple fact. I try to just tweet facts.
Sure.
People take them as they do. I said, the last time the Knicks won a championship, there were only 105 known elements on the periodic table. And now there's like 118 or 119.
See, we discover new elements. And the reason why I think that there is no hope for the Knicks is because of the one element in the owner, James Dolan. And I despise him as a Knicks fan, and thus just to make you familiar potentially with my work and what we do here on the show, anytime his name comes up, I can't stop hating on the man and calling him out for his dreadful ownership skills, to the point where we have nicknamed that moment here on the show the Dolan wormhole. I can't get out of the gravitational pull. So now that I have an actual astrophysicist here on this program, what is the gravitational pull, I guess, of the Dolan wormhole, just upon hearing it?
Okay, so here's the thing. Wormhole's not quite right, because a wormhole, yes, it's a hole,
yes,
but it just takes you to another place, right? And another place is not necessarily better or worse. It's just a different place.
Oh.
It's the black hole. What happens is you start talking about him and you can't get out of that hole because you have no end of negative things to say about him. And black holes, there's not much positive to say when you're falling into a black hole.
Okay, so you're saying the term Dolan wormhole for this on an astrophysics front makes no sense, is what you're saying?
No, not really. If you want to make it make sense in the sports world, it would be the Dolan black hole.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
The Knicks are deep in that black hole. When you talk about it, you fall into that black hole.
Right.
And there's nothing redeeming about it.
What if the Dolan wormhole takes me to a darker place? What if it takes the place that it actually leaves me is just in a place where I feel no hope?
It could be.
Okay.
It could be wormholes that lead to hopeless places.
Okay.
There's some talk that there could be parallel universes, where the multiverse, and not all universes are sort of equally charitable to sustaining life as we know it.
So is this the place? So if the Dolan wormhole could take me to the place where the Knicks have Michael Jordan and win six titles, is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying?
Apparently, it's not this Dolan wormhole.
Okay.
But in principle, yes.
In principle. So again, from an astrophysics point of view, in theory, this is possible, that me complaining about the Knicks owner so much that it's called a Dolan wormhole, it takes me to an alternate universe where the Knicks had Jordan and won six times with him.
Yeah. So you can, but would Dolan be the one who would do that? So that's my point.
Mm.
It would be a Knicks wormhole that went to another universe that had different outcomes.
Okay.
And so you want him out of that hole. You don't want him in there with you.
So you would suggest
you
I change
me,
it. We change the
bad mouth in the guy.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Very good. So
it's black hole.
It's now officially the
Dolan black hole.
Very good.
Okay.
We want to make sure we're buttoned up.
Accurate.
Again, we just want to be accurate.
I have a quick story to tell you about the Yankees, because I'm born and raised in the Bronx.
Here you go.
This is it's cute to me. I don't know if it's cute to other people. So when I grew up in sort of a dry spell with the Yankees. Right, they had a few good players, Joe Pepitone, folks like that.
Of course.
But when I was in upper elementary school, the post Mickey Mantle era, the Yankees went something like 15 years without a championship, without even being in the World Series. And those are my formative years as a kid when I'm playing Little League and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I was still a fan because I was born in the Bronx. Okay. Then the Yankees got back on track.
Yes, they did.
And then they won their 23rd and 24th and 25th and 28 world championships. Okay. In 2000, when was it? In 2001, something like that? My daughter is 5 years old, and we live in Lower Manhattan, where we have a sight line to the Canyon of Heroes. And any championship sports team in the city marches up that Canyon of Heroes if they win the championship. So, In 1998 and 99, the Yankees won the championship.
They did.
And my daughter was like four, five, and she sees this every year. She sees this, and school is canceled because you can't cross the streets.
Sure.
And her kindergarten was canceled for that day. And so, 2001 comes around, and she is five, and she's gathering paper to the window. So I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "Oh, this is for next year's Yankee parade."
Oh, boy.
She just bought every year. It was a parade for the Yankees.
Boy.
She had no other context. This was like a very hard-earned fact.
Never thought I would say this to you. You're raising a spoiled child, Neil. I never thought I would say it. I mean, look. But you can't see. I do have a sign that my kids gave me in June called me the best dad ever. So I guess I'm high on the mount right here. I've got that sign right in front of me.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I've got a couple more questions. I've got.
It didn't occur to me to tell her how rare it is to win a world championship.
Of course, I know it's so rare. Before I let you go back into the cosmos, I've got a couple more questions for you. One in the NBA. I'm sure you've heard Kyrie Irving on occasion has he has espoused what we would call a flat Earth theory. What do you say to Kyrie and other flat earthers as they're
No, called? I say that's why he's a basketball player.
Wow.
You know, in a free country, you can think the Earth is flat. There are plenty of jobs for you.
Yes.
If you think Earth is flat.
Okay.
Just stay away from NASA and any other place where objective reality matters. And so he plays basketball. I'm cool with that.
I think Neil deGrasse Tyson just told Kyrie to stick to sports. I think he just stuck to stick to sports, Kyrie.
Well, just don't stick to astrophysics.
Yeah, I would have said that. I said, whatever you do, just stay away from NASA.
Okay,
that's all, because that would be a disaster. And by the way, we live in a free country. We shouldn't legislate what people say.
No, of course.
But we should keep track of where people who are not connected to objective reality, we should track where they have power.
Yes.
And where they exercise their power. And if they have power over people who are trying to learn an objective reality, then that's a recipe for disaster. That's a recipe for the unraveling of civilization itself.
Wow, that is big. Before I let you go, Chris, do you want to ask the question? Because you're a big Patriot fan, and this is somewhat NFL ancient history. But Deflategate was about, what, 6 years ago or 5 years ago, Chris? So ask Neil deGrasse Tyson the question the Patriots fans want the answer to.
Yeah, Neil, just please explain to everyone that cold air does make inflated balls deflate, so we can end this once and for all.
Yeah, I mean,
So this should have been a common knowledge to anybody who's had a class in physics or especially chemistry, that air pressure is sensitive to the temperature of the air. All right, and so it kind of makes sense if higher temperature air molecules are vibrating faster, and the faster the vibration is, the more pressure it is. So, for example, the Patriots could have, I did a calculation on this, I think I did it right, the Patriots could have inflated the ball with 125 degree air, okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it would have been proper pressure at 120, then you hand the ball out into the cold air of the game, then the air in the ball slowly drops, and then the ball deflates. Not their fault. They put it in at full pressure. Now, no one thinks that's what actually happened, but I was just trying to give the physics of what could happen, just to put that on the table.
So you're saying that the cold air could have dropped the air pressure in the footballs to the potential air pressure spot where Tom Brady was falsely accused of deflating footballs.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna like get into the legality of his being falsely or correctly accused.
Yes, sir.
I'm just saying that if you inflate the ball in a hot room and then bring it out into cold air, it will lose the regulation pressure. Period. And if you did that, you knew you were doing it. You had to. If you lived your whole life inflating balls and playing in hot temperatures and cold temperatures, then you would know this. So I'm. And if you didn't know it, are you an idiot? Right. So you know, choose which of those you want to be. Okay.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, everybody.
And wait. And yes. This argues for science literacy in sports. How about that?
There we go.
A little more science literacy there.
I am again smarter for knowing all of this, and we are smarter as a show to know that is no longer the Dolan wormhole, but the Dolan black hole. Unless I'm being transported to an alternate universe where the New York Knicks not only never lost to Michael Jordan, but won with him. I can't wait
there
to think
go.
About that.
There you go.
Thanks again, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Check out Cosmos Possible Worlds tonight and Tuesdays at 8 Eastern on Fox, at Neil Tyson on Twitter, at Neil deGrasse Tyson on Instagram. Thanks again. Let's do this again.
And good luck on your upcoming new platform.
Thank you.
I
greatly appreciate that. Thank you. That's
excellent.
You got it right back at you. That's Neil deGrasse Tyson, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen.
That was fantastic.
So, do you want to change it, or we'll just know that the Astro physicists out there go, that makes no sense.
I
or do
think,
we just stick
I
with
think,
the Dolan wormhole because we've been branding it to rebrand it at this late stage?
Well, like, we're gonna have a new audience coming up here.
I've already tweeted it out.
Actually really care about being factually correct here, so I think we do need to start calling it.
First of all, the wormhole is from the movie Contact. It's where Jodie Foster goes in, I believe. The wormhole.
Plus, I already tweeted it out, so you know, it's already out.
It's now named the black hole.
Well, I said that Neil told us we were a little bit wrong.
No, just he could say that. And in case you're wondering, Mike, Neil, the wormhole is not from a movie. It's from science.
I know that, but she goes into the wormhole in the movie Contact.
But she comes out the other side into another place.
But the Knicks were still bad when she came back.
I've been dragged into the Dolan wormhole, the gravitational pull.
Yeah, but I mean.
But he's saying that a black hole leaves you nowhere.
Exactly. Right. So I think you should go.
A wormhole takes you somewhere.
Exactly.
Right. And we're not going anywhere when we talk about Dolan.
No. So if we're concerned about alienating the astrophysicists in the Rich Eisen Show audience,
yes,
we should change it. If we're going to think about being accurate overall, we should change it. Or screw it. Just keep it.
Because Kevin takes you.
Rich, I feel like you've built your career on being accurate and giving real information to the people. That's why they come to you instead of these other jabronis.
Okay.
So,
good use of the word.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. So it's now officially # Dolan Black Hole.
Dolan Black Hole.
Yes.
We're switching.
Yeah.
It's got to be right. Got to be accurate.
Got to be a bunch of merch we got to change now, though.
He told Kyrie to stick to sports, essentially.
Well,
flat earth.
He's not going to get a complaint from me about Kyrie.
At Neil Tyson, at Neil deGrasse Tyson. That was fun. With more phone calls, and we'll wrap up this show and set up the rest of the week in a moment here on The Rich Eisen Show on Peacock and more.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. Bet online to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. And it's the perfect way to rewatch a game like, say, Chiefs-Texans, the season opener from Thursday night. Catch it on NFL Game Pass. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is really the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, by the way, the reigning defensive player of the year, Devontae Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. It's the perfect way to follow an NFL season. NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls. What a show we had today. We're still waiting. I guess nothing has really developed since the first hour of our program, right? We're still waiting to get testing back from the Titans and the Vikings, and the NFL will make a decision on what appears to be the first altering of the 2020 schedule because of COVID-19. I mean, it would be great if the Titans just were able to remove these guys. Nobody else tests positive. I mean, do you even run the risk, though, of not knowing when this could possibly gestate and show up on a positive test? Like, do you even run the risk of, okay, nobody's tested positive in the last 4 days. Let's stick them out of there against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. Lots of questions. Okay, NBC SN audience, that's the NBC Sports on Peacock lineup. When you get Peacock, that's how you could see Dan Patrick before us every day. And brother from another right after us, Michael Holly and Michael Smith, will have the latest on what's going on in the NFL, keeping an eye on the baseball playoffs. Just began with the Astros and Twins in Minnesota. They're scoreless through one. And then, Wednesday, it's one game an hour. Our first pitch an hour pretty much on Wednesday, right, in baseball?
Yeah, eight games. They're all staggered by about an hour throughout the day, starting at noon Eastern tomorrow. It's going to be awesome.
Tonight. Cole and Bieber, Yankees.
What do you think?
Cleveland
over under 2 hours and 20 minutes.
I hope so, because that means it'll be mostly over by the time the debate starts. And
this is why they paid $400 million.
Did you see Biden during the commercial break? I saw Biden released his 2019 tax.
More than $750.
It is more than that. But I mean, there's a lot of pre-debate maneuvering going on, and that'll be tonight at 9. And again, for those out there who have yet to register to vote, or are wondering how to register to vote, or wondering how to vote, or wondering where to vote, or needing a plan to vote, wondering about how to vote in your state, wondering about how to vote by mail in your state, wondering about any of that, go to any of these three websites, nonpartisan websites, to show you how to register to vote. IamAVoter.com, RiseToVote.com, RockTheVote.com. Share it with anybody who needs to know about having a plan to vote. Early voting's already underway. Apparently, a story I read, about 900,000 to a million, depending on the story, votes have already been cast in the election. Because early voting has begun in many states. I believe in most of the states, the deadline to register is next week. Learn. And vote.
Not a damn debate, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Jones. I appreciate that. Sonar has been hanging on at West Palm Beach since damn near Jump Street today, and I appreciate you hanging on. What's up, Sonar?
How you doing, Rich? Long-time listener.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Rich,
that.
First I have a quick question for Brockman, if you don't mind. Brockman, do you know who Belichick says the best running back in the NFL?
Right now? Or of all time?
Just recently, he said Joe Mixon is who he considers the best running back in the NFL.
Okay.
I like it.
All right.
And I'm a huge Bengals fan, and it seems like Zach Taylor is not calling efficient enough plays to show Joe Mixon and Joe Burrow's skills. Because if you watch the Sunday night game with Alvin Kamara, Joe Mixon is just as good as any other running back in the league, but yet he doesn't use him in the passing game. And that is killing Joe Burrow also. So he's pretty much ruining two star players.
Well, here's the thing I would say to you, two things. Is one, with a rookie quarterback, I don't even know if you would – I mean, I would think Burrow is certainly ready to look at progressions and all of that stuff, and I don't know who he's looking for or what have you. I wouldn't put any blame on anybody. And secondly, I can't believe I'm really saying this to a Bengals fan. You're in great shape compared to the Jets, man. I mean, your rookie quarterback has got A.J. Green and Joe Mixon and Boyd all at his disposal. He might be getting his ass beaten up pretty much every single week, but he's taking in the chops and getting better every week. The Jets have got a quarterback now in year three who's never looked like Burrow has, never had a couple games like Burrow's had already. And on top of it, there's no hope. Their quarterback's broken. I think you're in good shape. Just give it some time. But I really think you're in good shape with him. And I appreciate you hanging on for as long as you did. And keep calling back. Long time, first time right there. Did I really just say the Jets are in worse shape than the Cincinnati Bengals? Did I really say that? Holy Bruce Coslett bass, man.
Co-tidy bad, Rich.
Co-tidy bad. That's what our buddy Bobby Cannavale said. You're not that is the ultimate Jets barometer. You're not fully bad unless you're co-tidy bad. You know, which is, again, using the zestfully clean jingle. And I don't want to say it like that because I don't want to get sued, but it is also like the Costanza Menon. It'll stick with you. You're not fully clean. You're not fully bad unless you're co-tidy bad. And the Jets look Kotite bad. They look worse than Kotite bad. Jets have never gone 0-16. Never.
Yeah, so Rich Kotite was the Jets coach 95 and 96. 3-13 in 95. Followed that up, guys, with a stellar 1-15 in 96.
You're not fully bad unless you're Kotite bad. And I think this team is Kotite bad, to use the Bobby Cannavale phrase and drop that on our podcast.
Do you know the quarterbacks in 96 for your Jets, Rich?
Was that a Ray Lucas era?
It was not. That was Frank Reich. He got your lone victory.
Okay.
1-6. Neil O'Donnell then came in and went 0-6. Yep. And Glenn Foley, guys, went 0-3.
Glenn Foley.
Yikes.
I mean, hey, man, look, my plan that I had earlier in four downs, Jets should tank for Trevor and get Eric Bieniemy. That's in danger. The Broncos know what they're doing. The Broncos know what they are doing. I know they love Drew Lock. I get it. And they might have a new coach there, too. I love it. But Elway knows what he knows, and he sees number 16 in Clemson within his sights right now, too. So let's take Jeff Driskel out, and let's put this kid from Boise in, and let's see what we got in him. Let's see what we got in him. And he's fortunate enough, unfortunately for Drew Lock, to have his quarterback injured. The Jets are going to see, we got to still see what we got in Sam Darnold. We've already seen what we got in Sam Darnold. You've got a broken quarterback. He's broken. You broke him. The Jets broke him. So if you're not careful, you might lose Trevor Lawrence. And at the very least, if you love Sam Darnold so much and you love him so much you refuse to set him free, you should still suck enough to get in the Trevor Lawrence position so you can trade him for somebody's entire draft. So even if you love Darnold, you should still tank for Trevor. And if you think that Trevor's worth it, you certainly can't let Elway outfox you by starting the kid from Boise on a short week on the road. That is an executive of the year maneuver. You're 0-3. You already lost Vaughn. You lost Cortland. What, Casey's out too, right? Who else you lost there? Philip Lindsay's out for a while. Your coach, who you like a lot, has trouble figuring out how to work timeouts because he's already thinking about the next defensive play. He's thinking like a defensive coordinator. You think Elway likes Trevor Lawrence? Do you think he loves Drew Lock, and for good reason? Good reason. Do you think he'd throw Drew Lock overboard for Trevor Lawrence? Deep down, John Elway on sodium pentothal with just you and him in a room. Your thoughts? Okay.
In
got
a
it.
Second.
Right. So don't get outsmarted, Jets. Look to your inner suck. This is a Jet black hole, right? Or a Jet wormhole?
It's a Jet wormhole.
It's a wormhole. It's a Jet wormhole.
Because this is taking us to a different place. It's me into a place
draft
where...
night.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
This exactly.
is a wormhole. Where the new coach, Eric Bieniemy, has the perfect vessel for his play. Imagine this, Jets fans. You go through the wormhole, and you come out the other side, and the guy who's dialing up plays for Patrick Mahomes has an even better weapon at the position. I know that's expecting a lot and asking a lot of a young kid who's never played it down in the NFL, but you see what you see. You covet what you see, to use the Silence of the Lambs phrase.
Lawrence,
you see him.
Better than Mahomes?
You see him. I'm saying that he's big and tall with an arm and runs like a deer. Why not? Why not indeed? And that picture I see, to use the Back to the Future phrase, the picture that I see, Lawrence arm in arm with Eric Bieniemy, gets fuzzier and suddenly erased from the photograph that's at the top of my guitar. Because the Broncos are going to start their third stringer before the Jets start theirs. Don't let it happen. Here endeth the lesson. I mean, I just gave you a Back to the Future and Untouchables reference, and I gave you all of the Fugitive you could handle earlier. Thanks for taking in this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. Thanks to Tyler Lockett, Cam Jordan, Jane Lynch, and Neil deGrasse Tyson. See you.
Sixers, call Doc.
Hey, sports fans. Adam Carolla here. I want to tell you about my new daily sports show, All Balls, All Sports. Join me and my co-host, comedian sports expert Jeff Cesario, 5 days a week as we get into the daily news from the world of sports and gambling. From NFL and NBA game action to off-the-field shenanigans, there's no sports topic too hot for All Balls, All Sports. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts and find us at podcastone.com.